Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I have just arrived in California and thought that I would go ahead and share the daily devotion before heading to bed. It is late in the night here. There is a scripture we want to start with today. It's in John chapter 14. In verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When he tells us to let not our heart be troubled, it is because he understands that there are things that would come into our life that could well trouble us. This peace that the Lord would offer us is not a life free from trouble. It is peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the pain and separation and the loss and betrayal that we've spoke about this week. The Lord would raise us up above the storm clouds and let us view His plan and purpose. And in this life, we are given strength to fulfill His will and His purpose. In Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10, it says this, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." The Lord is preparing us to rule and reign with Christ Jesus. Many times it is in the struggles of this life that we are molded into His image and likeness. Many years ago, I was visiting a church, and a sister there gave me a book titled Hinds Feet on High Places. It is written in the pattern of like Pilgrim's Progress. She said that the Lord led her to give it to me. Little did I know, at that time, the Lord saw a tremendous storm on my horizon. The book is taken from this scripture in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 19. "The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine hind places." A woman named Much Afraid is on her journey to the high places. It speaks of our walk in Christ Jesus as we move on to perfection. The woman, Much Afraid, would say this, "Why, oh why, must you make sorrow and suffering my companions? Couldn't you have given joy and peace to go with me, to strengthen me and encourage me and help me on the difficult way?" The shepherd answered her, "All of my servants on their way to the high places have had to make this detour through the desert. It is called the furnace of Egypt and a horror of great darkness." On her journey, on the last morning, walking near the tents and huts of the desert dwellers, in a lonely corner behind a wall, she came upon a little golden yellow flower growing all alone. "What is your name, little flower? For I never saw one like you before." The tiny plant answered at once in a tone as golden as itself, "Behold me, my name is acceptance with joy." She went on to say this, "I learned that I must accept with joy all that you allow to happen to me on the way and everything to which the path led me, that I was never tried to evade it, but to accept it and lay down mine own will on the altar." Quite a lesson to learn that if we are going to ask the Lord to lead us, then we have to be willing for Him to lead us even through difficult times. In my journey through the desert, the Lord gave me this scripture. It's found in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 52. "In the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." To understand, in the most difficult times of my life, the Lord was actually doing a work in me, and that where I saw affliction and trouble and trials, that He saw that He was producing fruit in my life. In the book, there was another flower that was blood red, and its name was Bearing the Cost for Forgiveness. It would go on to say this, "I was separated from all my companions, exiled from home, carried here and imprisoned in this rock. It was not my choice, but the work of others, who when they had dropped me here, went away and left me to bear the results of what they had done. I have borne and have not fainted. I have not ceased to love, and love helped me push through the crack in the rock until I could look right out into my love, the sun itself. When we look at that, I like this because we've been looking at the life of David and how he continued to love even as others betrayed him. And this is what I found in this book. The flower made this statement, I have not ceased to love. See now, there's nothing whatsoever between my love and my heart, nothing around to distract me from him. He shines upon me and makes me to rejoice and has atoned to me for all that was taken from me and done against me. There's no flower in all the world more blessed or more satisfied than I. Then I learned that I must bear all that others were allowed to do against me and to forgive with no trace of bitterness. Here we are back to this thought again, that there is a desire of the Lord for us to forgive others and not hold on to bitterness. The reason, she said, that I may receive power to bring good out of this evil. Now we understand that what happens against us many times is evil, but God means it for our good. In the last few years, the Lord brought me back to this scripture. It's in Genesis chapter 41 and 51. The Lord had given me the name of the second son, but he brought me back to the name of the first one. And it says, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And then you can ask the question, what does it mean to forget? Because when we look at the story of Joseph, we see that he never forgot his father's house. He always loved him. He always longed after him. And actually, when he was reconciled, he was overwhelmed with emotion to be reconciled to his brother. I went on to say this, or I thought this, he has taught me I can't allow the pain and heartache of my life to define who I am. It's not that we forget the toil, we forget the ones that have hurt us, it's that we don't let that have control over our life. We do not let it define who we are, and that in reality that we have to forgive with no trace of bitterness to truly be set free. I want to tell you about a dream that I was given. It's many years ago, over 20 years ago, a brother from Canada called me and he told me, he said, I had a dream. He said, I do not know what the dream means. All I do know is I'm supposed to tell you. So he proceeded to tell me the dream. And in the dream, he saw this little yellow bird flying. And the bird, as it was flying, it was flapping its wings and it was singing. And then all of a sudden, two blackbirds came upon it. One of the blackbirds grabbed a little yellow bird around the throat and dragged it down to the ground. When it got it to the ground, it shook it and choked it, where it seemed as if the little yellow bird was dead. Only one blackbird did it, and the other blackbird just stood and watched while it happened. Then the two blackbirds flew away together, and then I saw the little yellow bird jump up, shake its wings, kind of shake itself, and fly off singing once more. After he told me the dream, I told him, I said, I don't know what that dream could mean. I said, I do know this, that God is an interpreter of dreams. So after I hung up the phone, I knelt down in the living room. I can still remember exactly where I was at. And I was beside my recliner and I was praying. I got so tired, I thought, Lord, I can't even get up and go to bed. So I just rolled over on the floor and I went to sleep. When I woke up still on the floor. But when I did, the interpretation of the dream was in my mind. What the Lord showed me is this. He told me that, he said that you are the little yellow bird, and what you're going to do, what the singing refers to, is your preaching. He said there will be an attack against you. And it will be the spirit of gossip. The reason that there was two blackbirds is because, and only one blackbird attacked you, is because without someone to give ear to what is being said, the attack will have no power at all. And then he showed me that the reason that the attack came from birds is because the attack would not come from the world. It would come from within the church. When I saw the interpretation, I was so happy. Not that I knew that a test was coming, but I was happy to know that the Lord had warned me. So I went to a church, down to the church that I visited, and I preached a message, and we called it Singing in the Devil's Birdcage. And we told about the dream and what was getting ready to take place, not understanding at the time that the attack would come from people within that very church. They started telling things about me, and when I started hearing them, I knew that it wasn't true. But I also recognized the Lord had showed me in the dream that the blackbird was too powerful, and there was no way I could ever fight against it. All I could do is receive the attack, and when it was over, continue going on singing unto the Lord. After the attack took place, I was thrown away by people I had given my life to. I had poured so much into them, spent so much time going to preach and to share what the Lord had given with me with these people. Yet when they heard the stories, they threw me away. I had one pastor call me, and he says, "I have never seen the things in your life that you are accused of, but because we want to stay in fellowship with the ones that are making the accusations," he said, "we will separate from you as they have." Another brother pastor, he called me, and he told me this. He said, "Please do not send me any more tapes," because at that time we were sending out tapes, and he was receiving everything that we would preach. And then he made a strange statement. He said, "It is a shame that I cannot receive them anymore because I have really enjoyed them." But see, the Lord had shown me that this attack would come, and even though it was difficult, I understood the Lord allowed it for a reason. I'd read this, and I thought it was very good. It says this: "Be thankful for all the trials, persecutions, betrayal, lies told about you, because it is God's way of molding you, shaping you, making you into a vessel he can use for his glory. For many servants of old went through the same. When the master sees that they have proven themselves faithful, they all become a powerful tool in the master's hand. What you're going through is not to destroy you, but to reveal the hidden strength that God has invested in you. In this journey since being thrown out, the Lord has led me to meet many new brothers and sisters. If I had not been thrown out, I may never have come to Africa. And I have to tell you this, Africa has been a tremendous blessing unto my life." In Genesis 45 and verse 5, Joseph told his brothers, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." And then in verse 8 he says this: "So now it's not you that sent me hither, but God." See, what his brothers had thought for evil, for his destruction, God had a plan and a purpose. And he was not only going to use Joseph to redeem the nation of Israel, his brothers, he was going to use him to save many lives. The nation of Egypt would be preserved because of Joseph's wisdom. And many nations around would come to them desiring help, and Joseph would be able to help them in a time of famine. Verse 10, he says, "Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And then and there will I nourish thee." This is quite a picture. Not only would Joseph forgive them for what they had done unto him, his desire was that he would be able to nourish them. What a beautiful spirit. What a beautiful picture that God would ask us not only to forgive people, but that in turn we can be a blessing unto them. And if we can believe this, we could ask ourselves this question: are we willing to nourish those that once hurt us? Recently, I tell you, a brother had a dream, and he shared it with some other brothers. And since that time, there is a mighty work of reconciliation taking place. A couple of weeks ago, I was blessed to be in a convention with some that once spoke evil of me. I had to rejoice in this because the Lord had promised me this when I first entered into that dark valley. Over 20 years ago, the Lord promised it to me, and it's just now am I seeing the fulfillment of that promise. I say these things to ask this question: what would have happened if I would have become angry and bitter and just gave up because of what had taken place? See, when I tell you that David and Jesus has suffered these things, such as separation and rejection and betrayal and loss, I not only know it by the scriptures, I know it by experience. I could go into greater detail, but I think that's enough for today. I don't want to keep too long. I will share this with you. My grandson, my oldest grandson, was baptized. And when he was baptized, there was a prophecy given to me, and I will share it with you. It said this: my son Timothy, I would speak to you this morning, and I say it is for thy stand that thou hast made those years ago, through all the hardships, through all the trials. I say, look at this, what I have given to you this day. It is a promise. It is a comfort to you to know that thy path is made sure, that I've led you and I've guided you, and looked up and look at this treasure that you hold through all the disasters that may come forth. For it is a promise unto you that all things are good when you put your trust in me. So just keep on trusting, keep believing, and keep on this path. But I say even more glorious things await thee on that day, for you will stand with thy son and thy grandson, and thou wilt see all the glories of heaven. That was a promise after my son had died, and that was 20 years ago, that the Lord told me that one day I would stand once more and stand hand in hand with him and view the glories of heaven. And now he increases that promise. His desire is to make us fruitful in the land of our affliction. He said, I will not only stand with my son, I will stand with my grandson. He says, for I am a good God. Oh, never doubt me, for I am good, and I will give good things to my people. For thou, those who wait, for those who trust and are faithful, I say, do not doubt in the tests and trials, for I am good, and the promises I've made are yea and amen. So just trust in me. I'm pleased in thee, my son, for you have stood faithful in all these things, through all the battles, through all the trials. Though they may attack you, I say you have stood. And I like this part. I love this part. And I have given thee that strength. Hey, we don't do it on our own. It's difficult. He mentions trials and tests and battles, but he also mentions promises. And the great promise is, I have given thee that strength. So I say, keep trusting in that strength that I will give unto you. It is not in you, it is in me, for I am good and I am always good. And I say, the trust that you have put in me in the beginning, I will see it to the end. Just keep on trusting, keep believing in me, my son. And I know that you will, and you will stand there on that day. And this is said in Jesus' name. Amen. A little bit longer today. I hope you forgive me, but I'll read you another scripture. It's in Isaiah 28 and verse 28. It said this: bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. Another translation says it this way: bread corn shall be broken small, but the thrasher shall not thrash it forever. Neither shall the cartwheel hurt it, nor break it with its teeth. Verse 29, this also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. The idea is that the bread corn or the wheat, it is being prepared for use and not for destruction. The same way with us. the trials, the tests, the betrayals, the rejections, the separations, the loss, none of these things are for our destruction. They're actually to produce fruit in us, prepare us for the Master's use. And I pray that we can see that even in the midst of the struggle, that we can see this. In Psalms 4 and 8, we will close with this. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. If we are able to forgive, to put away anger and bitterness, then we can be at peace. Peace. We can rest in his promises, and our sleep will be sweet. May God bless you. I'm thankful for this week, for Brother Andrew giving me this opportunity to share the things upon my heart. I pray that they are a blessing unto you as well. God bless you all.